It's the Tasting Room with Tom Likas. This is where we talk about the worlds of high-end wines, distilled spirits, craft beers, and the good life that goes with all the good stuff we love to taste. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of the program. Joining us in studio from the Napa Valley is Ravi Mehta. He is the founder of Metaphora Wines. Ravi, thank you so much for being in.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me about your winery. How did you get into this business?
Well, it's a very interesting story. I used to work for the governor in California many years ago. And on the weekends, I used to go visit Napa Valley because there wasn't a lot to do in Sacramento.
And it's not that far from Sacramento.
It's about 90 miles, about an hour and 10 minutes.
And most people would love to live 90 miles from Napa. I know I wouldn't mind myself.
It was a great experience, still is.
Very, very nice. Okay, so you're visiting. Look, I love wine, and I've been to Napa maybe 100 times in my life. But to jump over the fence and invest capital and start a business is a whole other story, isn't it?
It really is. It's a leap of faith, and it's not for the faint-hearted.
No. All right. So again, you liked visiting. You liked drinking wine. Tell me the process, because we have a lot of listeners out there who dream of doing something like this. I don't think they have any idea how hard it is. It's very romanticized. So talk to us a little bit about the business end of this.
The business end, I remember when I first decided that I wanted to actually get into this, and before I got into it, I met with some vintners, and I wanted to get their thoughts on getting into the business, and they discouraged me. They said, don't do it. It's a very hard business, and they said, we can make all the wine in the world for you. The hardest part is selling it. So that is the hardest part of the wine industry.
Right. And so you had to take your love for wine and translate that into A, making a wine that you were proud of, and B, convincing other people that you had the taste buds or that you had the concept that they could relate to, and then finding them and squeezing money out of them.
Well, hopefully we're not squeezing money out of them.
Well, you want to get them to buy your product. And obviously, we all have products to sell, including us. We all have products to sell. In fact, we're making wine ourselves that'll be coming out in the first quarter of 2016. So we're very well aware and very interested in this whole process of how this works. So you're finding people who need to be people that you've somehow reached through efforts like this one to get them to taste your wine, to love it as much as you do, and then to become a member of your wine club or what have you. There's a lot of moving parts in that. So why not just drink wine and enjoy it and go to Napa and stay at Meadowood or Bellagio or stay someplace nice, Airbnb, do it any way you like, and just enjoy it?
Yes, that's certainly what most people do and most people should do. But this is something that I've always wanted to do, and some very close friends of mine who are vintners offered to help. And I started off making just a couple of barrels for fun, but then again, I took the leap of faith and went into the business of winemaking.
Yes, I what I'm trying to convey to the dreamer out there is that it's hard to do.
It's very hard to do.
This is not just something you can just fall out of bed and say, I love vineyards. I just love to live next to a vineyard. There's so much going on. Arranging financing, finding the right spot, deciding if you're going to buy grapes or grow your own. Decide about everything from what varietals you're going to grow to what kind of label you're going to have to what kind of name you're going to pick to. The list goes on. I know this just from making 130 cases of wine, how much work goes into this. So I'm always fascinated with how people came to this business.
Yes, and, a quick short story on how I actually got into it. I'm going to fast forward from my days in the governor's office. And then in 2005, I happened to be at a dinner with our former governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I was sitting between Bill Harlan, who makes amazing wines, and Chuck Wagner, who also makes amazing wines. Both are dear friends of mine. And Chuck had been noodling me and said, when are you going to make some wine? I looked over to him and I said, are you going to make it for me? And he said, sure, I'll make your wine for you. And that's literally how I got started in the wine world.
Wow. That's a great story. That's fantastic. By the way, tell us these, of course, I know these names. Tell everybody who these people are.
Bill Harlan he owns Meadowood in Napa. He also owns a very famous winery called Harlan Estate and Bond and a few others. He gets very, very high ratings for his wines, very well respected in the valley. Chuck Wagner and his family has been making Camus and a whole slew of other different brands. Mayomi, that just sold for $315 million.
Wow.
These are icons in Napa Valley.
And you had an icon make your wine to get started.
He made my first few vintages, correct?
Yeah, exactly. A very exciting. See, the story I think was more interesting than you thought. I really do, because I'm blown away by your story. I think it's fantastic. All right, so now you've been doing this for how many vintages?
05 was our first vintage. Again, we just made a couple of barrels for fun. And in 2009, it was one of those situations where the world, as we all know, financial world was collapsing. And a lot of the wineries pulled back on their production because they didn't know what the future held for them. And so the grape growers out there were obviously very concerned because, fruit doesn't stop growing. It still grows, and the grape growers still have to sell their fruit. So I saw that as an opportunity. And again, I decided that I'm going to jump into the wine business at this point in time because I was able to find some incredible sources of fruit that I knew that before then I would never be able to get my hands on. So I went to these grape growers and I said, I will give you exactly what you got for your grapes in the last year, as long as you give me some long-term contracts. And they were happy to do it because I'm going to give them exactly what they got. And so that's what I did.
Wow. Okay. So you got a reasonable deal on grapes. Yeah, you were paying whatever the going rate had been. So the producers were very excited to be able to get that price in an economic downturn. You, on the other hand, got some long-term stability with good fruit. So it was a good deal all the way around for everybody.
It was a win-win, absolutely.
Okay. So now let's talk about your wines and let's talk about the concepts, because every winery is expressing itself through its wines. There's a story to tell. Tell us the story that your wines tell.
Our wines, obviously, as you said, every winery tries to express themselves in a different way. I'm a lawyer by profession. I went to law school for a year in Cambridge, in England. And so I drank a lot of cheap Bordeaux wines because as a law student, you can't drink a lot of expensive wines. But I appreciated the fact that wine and food pair well. And wine should complement food. Not all wine has to complement food, but I enjoyed the aspect of food and wine pairing. So the wine styles that we make are more in that style. They're intended to be paired with food, and hence our wines in a lot of famous restaurants around the country.
Mm-hmm. And talk to us about the varietals you produce. You brought three along today, which we'll be tasting, but you have more as well.
We do. We have a total of five different varietals. We have a Sauvignon Blanc, and we'll be tasting our inaugural Sauvignon Blanc 2014 vintage. We have a rosé of Pinot Noir. We also have a Cabernet Franc. We have a Pinot Noir, 100% Pinot Noir from Napa Valley, which we'll be tasting, as well as a 100% Cabernet Sauvignon from Howell Mountain in Napa Valley.
Wow. Why don't we taste one of these and we can talk about it? What do I have here? Is this the Sauvignon Blanc?
It is. It's the Sauvignon Blanc. It's 100% Sauvignon Blanc. We don't blend with any other varietals. It's also 100% from Napa Valley. We made 200 cases of this wine.
That's a rich style. A little different from many Sauvignon Blancs I've tasted because there's a richness. It's a bit fruit forward, which I like.
It is. There are so many Sauvignon Blancs out there, and some people will blend with Viognier and Semillon. We wanted to stay with a classic Sauvignon Blanc. Our Sauvignon Blanc, as you clearly noted, is fruit-driven. It doesn't have a lot of the green qualities, cut grass or bell peppery tastes. That's something that this is a style that I prefer, and so I wanted to make this particular style. I think we Americans tend to prefer more of a fruit-driven as opposed to a green-driven.
Kind of a rich mouth feel. I do think that's what American tastes are. I don't think, for all the talk about lower alcohol wines, higher acidity wines, wines that go better with food. Now, obviously I appreciate wines that go better with food. Great idea. But I think the average American taste, somebody standing around at a cocktail party or standing around on their back porch, I think they like a little more fruit, a little more richness in there.
They do. We always say that we want wines that are dry, but we always drink sweet. And I don't mean sweet in the sense that high sugar levels, but yeah. We just like the fruitier qualities in the wine.
We absolutely do. This is delicious. How many cases of this do you produce?
The 2014, we produced 200 cases, and we'll probably increase that between 200 to 500 cases over the next few years.
And the price point on this?
It retails for $38 a bottle.
It is absolutely delicious. I believe we tasted it when we met that day in Beverly Hills, the Peninsula.
We did. We did.
And I remembered it, and it was wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm. Very, very nice. All right, we'll take a break here. We're going to come back, got a couple more wines taste, talk a bit more about these lovely wines. You should be checking them out, by the way. It's Metafora Wines from the Napa Valley. MetaforaWines.com. That's M-E-T-A. P-H-O-R-A, Metaphora. MetaphoraWines.com. And there's more to come on The Tasting Room with Tom Likas. Stay right there. I want to talk to you about Harry's, Harry's.com. Oh, my God. Buying razor blades, not only a hassle to remember to do it, but also, let's face it, the cost is insane, and you have like one company deciding how much blades are going to cost. Now, the founders of Harry's, they are true disruptors, the kind we love. And they took a look at this razor blade scam, and they said, let's see if we can find a better way. So they scoured the earth, and they found a century-old German razor blade factory. And by buying that factory, they eliminated the middleman in the razor blade business. And the result is, the folks at Harry say you could save up to $150 a year on shaving just by using Harry's. Not only do you not need to overpay at the drugstore for quality razor blades, Harry's Shave Plan is a monthly subscription that sends blades directly to your door for as little as $3 a month. These shipments are timed, so you'll never run out of Harry's blades. You forget about having to deal with the burn of dragging out that one last blade or the hassle having to make a last-minute run to the drugstore. And by the way, if you get the Harry's Shave Plan, your first shave plan order also includes a free razor handle. And the folks at Harry's are so confident that you'll love their German-engineered blades that they're giving you a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Now listen up, because Harry's is giving new customers an additional $5 off their first monthly subscription order just by using my coupon code LYKIS5, LYKIS5. That's $5 off your first order plus a free razor handle. Harry's.com, the code is LYKIS and the number 5. And start shaving better today. Continue with this edition of The Tasting Room with Tom Likas, joined by Ravi Mehta. He is the founder of Metaphora Wines, located in the Napa Valley. Now, Ravi, what do we have here?
You have in your hand now our 2009 Pinot Noir. It's 100% Pinot Noir, and what's really unusual about this Pinot is that it's 100% Napa Valley. Napa Valley is known for its Cabernet Sauvignon, but there are a few very particular regions of Napa where you can actually grow some incredible Pinot Noir. So most people think of Pinot Noir coming from the Central Valley area, from the coast, but you need cool temperatures. So this is a very unusual Pinot Noir, and it's made in a very, very Burgundian style. So it's going to taste more like a Burgundy than the typical Napa or typical California Pinot.
Now, this is a very food-friendly wine. The acidity is nice, but in balance. Quite a nose on it, too, when you stick your nose in that glass. You get quite an aromatic experience in there.
It is. And I think Pinot tends to be one of the fruits that actually has good aromatics. And a well-made Pinot should express those aromatics. So I think our Pinot Noir is a classic Burgundian-style Pinot.
Where are these grapes from, approximately?
Well, two vineyards, exactly. One is down in the Carneros area. Mm-hmm. It's Truchard's vineyard. It's cool temperatures right by the bay.
Yeah, San Pablo Bay, beautiful.
And so that particular fruit provides the fruit qualities that you want, the Bing, the cherry that you want in a Pinot. The second vineyard is a very unique vineyard. It's up in Atlas Peak. It's Piero Antonori's Antica Vineyard. That's the Antonori family. It's been around for big 5,000 years.
Yes.
And so he owns about 2,000 acres up in Atlas Peak at about 2,200 foot elevation. He's got 9 acres of Pinot Noir up there.
Did he plant those?
He did plant those. He's got a little microclimate there that is just perfect for Pinot Noir. It's cool temperatures with a lot of sunlight. And the grapes that we use are a DRC Latoche clone, which is Domaine Romane Conti, which is the most expensive wine in the world. So he, back in 1988, was able to bring over on his airplane in a suitcase some clones from DRC because he's friends with the family that owns that particular vineyard, and he planted them. And so we have a DRC Latoche clone, and that fruit provides the minerality and the acidity that you mentioned a little bit earlier, plus some of the floral qualities. So it makes it a very, very unique vineyard.
Wow. I've met Piero Antonori. What a fascinating person.
Very nice man.
Met him in Florence right before he was about to take possession of that property in Napa, the old Atlas Peak property.
Oh, wonderful.
And I remember hearing him talking about his plans for it, upping the quality and pulling out a lot of the vines, and he had some ideas. And here we are tasting one of those first ideas right now.
Well, these clones were back, as I said, back in 88. So these are old vines, and people are amazed by the quality of this wine. And when they find out why it is what it is, they get it. They go, I taste the DRC.
Yeah, you can really taste the pedigree. But more importantly, whether you know the pedigree or understand that or not, it's just a lovely wine, elegant, with the good balance, a very good food wine.
Thank you. It is.
Very, very nice. So now what's the price of a bottle here?
Retails for $75 a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Very, very nice. Delicious, in fact. We have one more wine here, and before we get to it, and I'm going to get to it, I want you to talk to me about your total case production. Tell us who your customers are and how you find them.
Our total case production for the winery, again, varies from year to year depending on the harvest. Some harvests are larger than others. We are between 1,500 to 2,000 cases for all five varietals. Our Cabernet is, we're between 300 to 500 cases. Our Pinot is between 300 to 500 cases. Our Cabernet Franc is about 200 cases. Sauvignon Blanc, 200 cases. And our Rosé is 50 cases.
Really?
Very small. It's a saigné. In French, that means to bleed. And so we bleed off some of the juice as it's turning from white to pink. We bleed off the pink from the Pinot Noir, and then we let the Pinot continue to sit on the skins, which then turns it into red wine. So we only make 50 cases of rosé.
Wow, that's something. I love small production, and the main reason I love it is because I have a wine that I know that my guests don't know, or when I'm presenting it as a gift as I'm coming to visit, people say, "Where'd you get that? What is it? And I love to lord it over people that they have not heard of the particular wine I'm bringing. So to me, that's a big benefit when it's a small producer and who makes a really good wine. It's killer. And nowadays, I think we as a society, we're like that about TV shows. You know, we love to ask about obscure TV shows on cable networks or streaming networks. Have you ever seen, pick a show, the Silicon Valley? Have you ever seen Orange is the New Black? The point is, we do that with that. We do that with the places we stay now. We do that with food, craft beer, and wine is certainly one of those things where anybody can go to Wally's in Beverly Hills and pick up, a first growth Bordeaux and present it to you. It takes a little more work and somebody who's a little more thoughtful and somebody, frankly, who's more into wine to find a label from a small producer that's delicious that we've never heard of before. This would qualify, as far as I'm concerned, as being a small production wine that I could be proud to bring over and say, I'll bet you've never had this. And most people probably haven't.
That's correct, yes.
Fantastic. Very, very nice. All right, what is in my final glass here that we're going to taste today?
The final glass that we're tasting today is our 2010 Cabernet Sauvignon. It's 100% Cabernet. It's 100% Napa Valley. And most of this fruit comes from Howell Mountain. And a little bit of this fruit comes from St. Helena Valley Floor, which is a clone 29. It's the Inglenook clone that got all the 100 points back in its day.
Right. And Howell Mountain, let's talk about Howell Mountain fruit for a second, because, you know, it appears on the labels of some of the finest red wines from Napa Valley. Tell us why Howell Mountain is so important.
Well, Howell Mountain's important because it sits on the eastern side of Napa Valley. There are two mountain ranges, and the valley is between these two ranges, obviously. And so this sits on the eastern side. So when the storms come in, the storms dump all their water on the western side, Spring Mountain side, and then by the time they get over to Howell Mountain, there isn't much left. So the vines on this mountain struggle, and that's good. You don't want grapes that are oversaturated with water. You want grapes that have struggled, and that makes for a much more complex wine. Plus, because it's mountain fruit, you get cooler temperatures up in the mountain, especially where this vineyard is. Beatty Ranch is where we get this fruit from, and the Beatty family has been growing grapes for 80-plus vintages. And so that particular fruit tends to be very, very small berries. There's a lot of skin. There's the proportion of skin to juice is much greater. And so that creates for a much more complex wine, and that's why those wines are so well known.
So big tannins, wines that can sit in your cellar for 15, 20 years easily, and I have many Howell Mountain wines in my cellar. And I really appreciate what it's all about. I've been to Howell Mountain. I've seen what it's like up there. And, there's few areas, even in Napa Valley, like it.
That's right. And the other thing is that because you get cooler temperatures up in the mountains, you also end up with lower alcohol wines. So, again, it goes to the food friendly, but still has the intensity and the complexity that people want in their wines.
Delicious. How much does a bottle of this go for?
Retails for $150 a bottle.
$150 a bottle. And let's face it, we're talking about the Napa Valley here, folks. We're not talking about some region you've never heard of or some region where the quality is questionable. I mean, it's hard to make a bad wine from Howell Mountain, I do believe. And somebody who knows what they're doing can make something really spectacular. This is delicious.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about where the business is going. Here you are making five varietals, and you have picked the varietals that you feel strongly about and from which you can get the best results from the fruit that's available to you, which I think is great. What are people drinking? What are they asking for? How is it changing, if at all, the wine business, people's tastes?
I believe that, we all started many, many years ago, at least I did. I remember drinking White Zinfandel, and I thought that was, my gateway wine.
Right.
And I think that was true for many people.
Absolutely.
And I believe that first of all, we're drinking more and more wine. as Americans. I mean, Europeans have been drinking wine for centuries. We're starting to get into that now. So there's a greater appreciation for wine, especially with the 20, 30 somethings, and people move into the whites. I find that more people are moving towards, again, the Sauvignon Blancs, the crisper wines, a lot of the overly oaked wines that we were drinking in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
People are starting to move away from heavily oaked wines, in my opinion. That's why we don't make a Chardonnay. I mean, there's some beautiful Chardonnays out there, but I think people aren't drinking Chardonnay as much either. More in the Sauvignon Blanc region. And now they're also drinking rosés. I mean, when we started making a rosé, people laughed and said, who's going to drink that stuff?
Right.
Now there are rosé competitions out there.
Well, the reason for that. In the 60s and 70s, rosé was the most overproduced, overmarketed, overadvertised wine there was. It's not even any one varietal. It's a number of varietals under the name rosé. And whether it was Matus or some of the others that were very heavily advertised, I think everybody thought they knew what rosé was. And in France, they never stopped taking rosé or, for that matter, folks, Merlot, seriously. And what happened was rosé was so overproduced and you could get it for $5 or $10 a bottle at the local drugstore. Everybody thought they understood what it was all about. They had no idea what a dry rosé was like, or a French-style rosé, something made as an artisanal product. And now, there are competitions because I think people are rediscovering rosé finally. They're not afraid that it's going to be one of those mass-produced products.
That's right. And I'll tell you a little story about our rosé because I think it's very interesting. When we first made the rosé, I actually dropped off a couple of bottles for Thomas Keller at the French Laundry in Yountville. I then get a call from the French Laundry saying, asking me whether I would donate a couple of cases for the Bocuse Dior Foundation dinner that Thomas Keller was hosting. And of course, I said, absolutely. Thomas Keller ended up pairing my rosé with his tomato salad course. There aren't a lot of wines you can pair with tomato salads.
No.
Or
tomatoes of any kind in any way, shape, or form because they're so acidic.
Exactly. And so he paired our wine with the tomato salad course, and then he put our wine on his wine list, and it was on his highly recommended list. So Thomas Keller loved the wines. Loved our rosé, and he has acquired our rosé ever since then.
Really?
And that's the reason I keep making rosé.
Understood. Yours wasn't stolen along with those bottles of the French Laundry, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, that would also be a good story if it happened. Though you'd hate to see any good wine go to waste, but much of that wine was recovered, if not all of it, if I recall.
It was.
What a great story. Delicious wines. Everybody loves you, but I'll tell you what, Robbie, everybody we talk to about you, they all have a very pleasant memory or a good story to tell. We're thrilled you came in to talk to us, and thank you so much for bringing us these great wines.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Robbie Mehta, who is the founder of Metaphora Wines in Napa Valley, metaphorawines.com, that's their website, Metaphora spelled Metaphora, metaphorawines.com. And there's more to come on The Tasting Room with Tom Likas. Stay right there. If you read magazines, I want to tell you about a game-changing app for you. It's called Next Issue. With Next Issue, you get the world's most popular magazines all in one convenient app for one low price. And it's not just this week's edition. It's unlimited access, including back issues. Plus, you get all the digital extras that come with magazines on their websites. Videos, bonus photos, interactive features, web links, and the ability to read today's top stories instantly. Next Issue has all the titles you love. If you love magazines, you're going to love Next Issue. People, Us Weekly, Rolling Stone, Vanity Fair, Entertainment Weekly, Sports Illustrated, Esquire, the list goes on and on. Now, why is Next Issue the best digital magazine service? Because it's convenient. All your favorite magazines in one place, anytime, anywhere, instant access. And it's an incredible value. For the price of less than two magazines at the newsstand, you have all your favorites plus more. It's like buying out the entire newsstand. No limits. Now, our listeners are going to get a 30-day free trial. You can try it before you buy. Get all the popular titles all in one place. No more clutter. No more remembering all those passwords. And it's available on the most popular devices. Your iPad, your iPhone, your Android tablets and smartphones. And one account can be shared. Get your free trial of Next Issue by going to nextissue.com/Tom. Now, this is a great deal, but remember, it's only available by going to nextissue.com/Tom and signing up today. You got that? nextissue.com/Tom. And we continue with this edition of The Tasting Room with Tom Likas. And joining us now, a return guest of the show, he's been with us so many times, Ian Blackburn, founder of Learn About Wine and Wine LA. Ian, welcome back to the show.
So excited to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. You've always got these great events, and it's an embarrassment of riches because every event we've gone to of yours is a home run. Amazing wines, amazing people. And an amazing venue every single time. And now you've got another event coming up called Stars of Pinot 2015. And it's coming up on Wednesday, August 19th. What are we going to be seeing and tasting?
Well, as you know, we have pulled together these Stars events. The Stars are the winemakers and the wineries and the wines. And so we took a different angle with it with Stars of Pinot. We set out to get together 30 top Pinot producers, and we did not expect that we would have the success that we've had. We've got 60 top Pinot producers from all over the world coming to join us, and I couldn't be more thrilled and more like my heart is racing. I'm so excited, but I'm also so scared. I got to get a bunch of people to come. We can't have a small audience for 60 wineries, so. We are thrilled to be on your show and hope that your listeners will join us for a night of Pinot Noir, 240 different Pinot Noirs.
240. I mean, now we're talking numbers. I don't know how many people listening have been to the Zap event, but those are Zap-like numbers. Zap is an event that has an amazing number of wines that are open, and that exceeds the last Zap event I went to.
Yeah, I mean, when you make Pinot Noir, you typically don't just make one. You know, you got different hillsides and vineyard designations, reserve designations, appellations. So, I had to limit the wineries to just four different facings. Now, some of them might bring a Chardonnay or a Pinot Blanc or Pinot Gris to complement their lineup. But yeah, 240 wines are going to be presented from all over the world. We got great representation from Chile, from Oregon, from New Zealand, from France, from California, of course. The significant weight of the wineries are from California, from all over Santa Barbara, Paso, Northern California, Sonoma Coast, Mendocino, Anderson Valley, Napa Valley. And the list of producers is spectacular. I've got 22 winemakers coming. Some of the best names in the business, like Brian Talley, Greg LaFallette, Ernst Storm, and his brother. His brother, Hans Storm, is a winemaker in South Africa. They're both going to be there. Ernst makes Storm wines up in Santa Barbara. I'm super excited about that. Charles Hendricks is coming down from Hope and Grace. La Cadu from Oregon. I mean, just the list is spectacular, and I really encourage people to check out the landing page at starsofpinot.com.
Starsofpinot.com. And here's another interesting thing. And you learn so much at these events in addition to enjoying fine wine and meeting great people. But many people know the Central Coast of California. They know Oregon for Pinot. How many people have tasted Pinots from Chile?
You know, I am so impressed with what I'm seeing, especially out of regions like Casablanca, which is right on the ocean in southern Chile. And we're talking about producers like from Burgundy that have moved down there to explore what the potential is. And dollar for dollar, it's hard to compete with the quality level that they're putting forward. Now, most people haven't tried these wines or seen those wines because if Chile's in the market here at all, it's on the low end. But we're talking about $40, $50, $60 wines coming out of Chile that will astound you. In fact, I went to the Wine Spectator tasting earlier this year, and my favorite wine in the whole room was a Pinot Noir from Casablanca, Chile, from Connoisseur Winery. They brought their reserve, and it was a 96-pointer in the Wine Spectator, and it took the whole show for me.
Wow. That is really amazing. And let's talk a bit about the venue as well. This time you're going to be at the Sofitel L.A.
Yeah, well, it is August and expected to be a pretty warm week, so we wanted to pick a great venue space that would guarantee fantastic air conditioning capabilities, and Sofitel is one of the best. It's a very sexy property. We take the entire second floor, quite a large space with 60 wineries. We wanted to spread it out. We've got incredible sponsorship from La Brea Bakery, and a bunch of cheese purveyors, and Los Angeles Magazine, and we have an MW, Amy Christine, Master of Wine, is going to host a VIP panel. And so if you buy the VIP ticket, you get to come have dinner, sit for the VIP tasting panel hosted by Master of Wine, Amy Christine, and five of the wine producers, and get in an hour early, get settled in, and have a special treat. So if you can't do that, that starts at 6, come at the for the general admission, starts at 7, goes till 9:30, and we have a silent auction that will benefit T.J. Martell Foundation and Children's Hospital Los Angeles.
That's great. Tell everybody how they get a ticket and what they cost.
So right now, if you buy them in advance, you can get them on the website. There's one ticket is $85. We got two for $150, and the VIP is $150. If you wait till the door, it's $100 at the door for the general admission and $200 for the VIP.
That's a pretty substantial saving if people go right now. And again, the website?
There's so many ways to find this, and we spent a lot of time and energy letting you search it, too. So if you forget, just search Stars of Pinot, but winela.com is our homepage, and you can also use starsofpinot.com to get there.
Fantastic. Ian, always a pleasure. These are great events. We can vouch for them personally because we've been to so many of them. And I heartily recommend that people put in an appearance at this event for sure next Wednesday, the 19th. It's the 19th, correct?
Right. And cool. That's coming up real quick, but good amount of tickets available. And we just signed up our 60th winery, so we are full of great wine.
Well, that is great. Thank you so much for coming on with us, telling us about the event. We look forward to having you back.
I can't wait to be back.
I'm looking forward to it. Ian Blackburn, the founder of Learn About Wine and Wine LA. Stars of Pinot 2015 coming up Wednesday, August 19th, 7 to 9:30 p.m. at Sofitel LA on Beverly Boulevard in Los Angeles, right opposite the Beverly Center. This is an event not to be missed. And there's more to come on The Tasting Room with Tom Likas. Stay right there. I want to talk about our newest advertiser, Touch of Modern, touchofmodern.com. Millions of people have already made touchofmodern.com their source for daily discovery of fascinating, one-of-a-kind products. Each one has a story, and the prices, well, you will not believe. And by the way, The variety of items is incredible. One of the things I'm fascinated with, because you know I like to cook, is the amount of barbecue gadgets that will knock you out, that make barbecuing and grilling a breeze. And you'll also find all kinds of things, jaw-dropping tech gadgets and gear. Now, right now, listeners like you can get immediate access when they sign up at touchofmodern.com. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today, because tomorrow it'll all be different. It's how life rolls in the fast lane, folks. touchofmodern.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Tasting Room with Tom Likas. Drop us a line. We love hearing from you. Write to Tom at TastingWithTom.com. That's Tom at TastingWithTom.com. Follow us on Facebook, Facebook.com/TastingWithTom. Or you can follow us on Twitter. It's Twitter.com/TastingWithTom. The Tasting Room with Tom Likas. Here is every week at this time, The Tasting Room with Tom Likas.
What the world is coming to 24/7. You're listening to the New Normal. NewNormalNetwork.com.